Encourage you to find the outline that's in your bulletin. And I'm grateful the Lord let me be back and to be here today. Continue our study in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you'll turn there, we're going to look at some scripture verses in that and think about those passages of scripture as God speaks to us out of His Word. Aren't you glad God's given us the Word and that we can read and study and you can read for yourself? We live in a time where God's Word is such available to us, and anybody who have more than one copy of the Bible? That's probably a better question. There are places in the world they don't have any copies, and we are blessed to have numbers, multitudes of translations, and to be able to read it. The question is, am I reading it? Am I studying it? It's one thing to have it. It's another thing to do something with it along the way. So I want to think with you as we look at living as people of God's light. Now, if you notice, the front of your bulletin today has light on it. It talks about the light. So I thought, well, that's interesting that both of those tie together. So let me read from Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Think about some of those things there. As we live as people of the light, some things that will help us, some attitudes we want to ask God to help us to have. This comes, of course, as he'd been in the verses prior to this, he talked about not being associated with covetousness and all kinds of evil things, idolatry and ungodliness of various kinds. And then he calls us to watch out for empty words. Now, some translations may use vain words or other words. So the first thing, if you're writing in on your outline, which I hope you're doing, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. It said, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words in the first part of verse 6. What are empty words? Are there any such thing in our world today as empty words or vain words or useless words, words that don't accomplish, produce something that's valuable and helpful for us? There are. Let me read the scripture passage. It's on your notes. And then we'll think about it. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men. In even, quote, Christian circles, there are some things that we are told that are really empty words, that are vain words. For instance, some groups tell us that if you love Jesus and serve Him, you'll be healthy all your life and you'll get a lot of money. Well, there's those who tell you that. That's vain words. That is not true to the Word. That's not true to Scripture. Any word that's not true to the Bible is a vain word, okay? Any thought, any concept. But there's a lot of vain words in the world around us. And I put out on a table out front a list of a lot of vain words. So if you want to pick one up, you may. So the third area on your notes, or actually fourth area, look to Jesus for light. Look to Jesus for light. He says in verse 8, you were formerly darkness. That's where you were. But now you're light in the Lord. Now you're light in the Lord. Because when we open our hearts to Christ, when we receive Him as Savior and Lord, does Jesus come to live inside us when we accept Him as Savior and Lord? Is Jesus described as the light of the world? So when you get Jesus, you get light. He reveals truth to you. The interesting thing is, as you go through life, even after you became a believer, but when you became a believer, God spoke to you. God revealed truth to you. Excuse me. And the light of God shone in your heart. The light of Jesus. You know, I'd like to think I thought all this up about knowing Christ, knowing Jesus and getting saved and so on. I didn't think it up. God thought it up. And His Spirit began to speak to my heart and reveal to me the truth that I needed Jesus. The light of the world began to shine in my heart, and He shined in your heart. So when I receive Jesus, I get light. Let me read the scripture passage. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So when I open my heart to Jesus and you open your heart to Jesus, the light of Jesus shines into us, comes inside us. We see life differently. Don't you view life differently after you became a believer than you did before? Isn't there a different perspective, a different relationship? For me, it was. I was 14 when I became a believer. But things changed. I've got one. Thank you. It doesn't seem to help, Ryan. I put it, and that's why I took it out. Well, maybe I'll have to finish. But what I remind us of is, when God shines in our heart, He reveals the truth about Christ. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. That'd probably do it, huh? I thought I wasn't going to get here today. But that's good. I really am over the bug. But some of you know, well, I'll sidetrack. Even after you get over this stuff, there's still a cough. You still have some stuff to deal with, even though you're not contagious anymore. And so that happens. But what I'm talking about, look to Jesus for light. Do you ever find yourself opening the Word of God and you're reading a scripture passage you may have read 6 or 8 or 10 different times? And all of a sudden something goes, I never saw that before. Oh, look. The light of Jesus has shone in your heart because He lives in you to reveal the truth of His Word to you. And I'm grateful that that light comes to shine in our hearts and our lives. The knowledge of the glory of God, we're in the face of Jesus, in the life and character of Jesus. So if I really want to know what God's like, I look what Jesus is like. I take the study of the life of Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if I want to know who God is, I study who Christ is. And I look for Jesus to enlighten my life. Give me a different perspective on life, different perspective on what's good and what's not, what's right and what's wrong. Has your life changed? Has your perspective of what's right and wrong changed since you had Jesus come and live in your life? Do you see things differently? Are the things you used to say, well, that's okay, now you say that's not okay anymore? Are there not some things now you do that you didn't think you ought to do before, but now you do them because God's revealed them to you? And so we look to Jesus. He said, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that. So therefore, on the other side of your notes, live as people of light. The end of verse 8 says, walk as children of light. You are darkness. Now God has made you light in the Lord in Christ. Walk that way. Live that way. Carry that out. I recognize that living that out is a lifetime of learning to do so. I remember one scripture passage says you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is, you get saved and Jesus comes to live within you and He changes your life. But learning to live that life takes a long time, probably all of our life, learning to live that out. Learn to live as people of light. But I accept only what is right, only what is good. And He named some things about that. So let me read the scripture passage that's under that section. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. What about that first part? Do you have any trouble with that grumbling? Complaining, disputing, whatever. He says, as people of light, we don't do that. Is that what he's saying? Because Jesus is in us, and Jesus never went about grumbling. Did you hear Jesus grumbling or complaining any time in the Bible? Did he ever complain about anybody? Well, he did chew them out. But most of the time, he didn't. He said, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We appear as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We demonstrate the life of Christ because we walk godly, because we try to be honest and pure. We try to be good neighbors. The other scripture passage says the same thing. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, we are lights. We're like lights on a hill that cannot be hidden. We don't want to hide our light. How do we shine before men? Let me suggest that the verse 9 talked about some ways. So, practice goodness, righteousness, and truth, the next thing on your line there. But he talked about, as people of light, we practice goodness, good quality of life, honest character, above reproach, people who care, people you can count on, people who are honorable. We want to be that kind of people because in so doing, we reflect the light of Jesus. You're well aware, as I am, that people watch us. If we claim to be Christian and people know we're Christian, people watch us to see how well we do. Sometimes it isn't fair, and sometimes they judge us unfairly, but do they still watch us? Absolutely. So as they see me treat my neighbors right, as they see me being honest in the way I take care of my finances, as they see me as I try to love my family and my wife or husband, and try to do things that are right and good, am I being light? Because Jesus changes our character. Jesus changes who we are inside. So there's that goodness that comes from Jesus. Now there's a human goodness that we can do on our own, people do sometimes. But when Jesus is in us, it's a different kind of goodness. We do it because we want to. We do it because we believe Christ wants us to. And there's a goodness about us, a character about us. I like what somebody said. I want to live such a quality life before the world that when they find out I'm a Christian, they're not surprised. They've seen enough of the character of Christ, of the love of Jesus in me, that they say, I noticed something's about you. It's good. Then you talk about righteousness, which means to me practicing what is right, what is honest, what is true, what is godly. I want to be those as a person of light. Because light's in me, because Jesus is in me, these things come out. It's not that I do those things in order to get light, okay? It's because the light of Christ is in me, the living Jesus is in me, and I yielding to him and to his way. And when I do, then these things come out of me, okay? There should be goodness, there should be righteousness. And the third area is truth, truth. I think as a believer in Christ, truth is in Jesus. He knows truth. The Bible describes him as the way, the truth, and the life. Everything God tells us is true. Everything he tells us in his book, the Bible, is true. And how he tells us to live is true. Do you find that life works a whole lot better when you practice his truth? When you read a passage of Scripture and when he says, be kind to one another, if you're kind to one another, life's better. And when he tells me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when I do that, do I find that truth works? that everything else comes my way along with it. Jesus said that. I want to practice the truth. I practice the truth in love, but I still speak the truth. I'm convinced that a lot of people in our world don't want us to tell the truth anymore. They want us to tell them what they want to hear the way they want to hear it, and they don't want to hear it if it's not what they think is true. But if we love people, do we tell them the truth? In a loving way, but we tell them the truth. See, my conviction is if I go to the doctor and he does an examination of me and he sees a spot on my lung that looks like cancer, but he doesn't tell me that it's there, he's not caring about me at all. So when you see somebody in need and hurt and the spiritual life and the journey are lost without Jesus, to not tell them the truth is not to love them. If I love them, I want to know. I want to tell them. And so I'm saying, I want to practice these things because I'm a personal light that Jesus, who lives in me, demonstrates himself through me to others. The last thing on your notes is, please the Lord. He talked about all those things in these verses, but he comes in verse 10 saying, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. My conviction is, if I put this into practice as a person of light, if my goal is to please the Lord, I'll have a pretty good life and I'll have a good standard by which to live. I put a couple of verses on your notes about that. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We have good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Is that our goal? Is that my goal? Is that your goal? What if every day when I get up and I start whatever I'm going to do and I ask myself, Jesus, does this please you? Will that affect the way I live? If I get up in the morning and I feel like I need to take a shower and I do it, am I pleasing Jesus? If I'm, that's true too. If I get up in the morning and I take out God's word and I read a little bit, pray a little bit, am I pleasing Jesus? If I go out, if I'm working and I go out and being a good employee, do my job well, am I pleasing Jesus? And then throughout the day, as I check myself, is this action pleasing to Jesus? Is this attitude pleasing to Jesus? Is this that I'm doing pleasing to Jesus? Will that change everything? So because of the light of Christ in us, our goal is to say, I want to please Jesus. I like what somebody said. If I don't please Jesus, it don't matter who I please. If I please Jesus, it doesn't matter who I please either. Because sometimes we get caught up trying to please other people and we forget to please Jesus. How do I know what pleases Jesus? How do I know what pleases God? Right here. Is there enough in here that about almost any area of your life you're dealing with, that you can find a principle or truth that will deal with what you're trying to deal with, that will give you some wisdom about how to live that and what will please the Father? I think He's left us a lot of enough word that we can look for it. The problem is sometimes we don't look because we don't want His answer. Sometimes we don't want to say, Lord, Your will be done, because we're afraid it's going to be what I don't want it to be. He's going to want to change something in my life and I don't want to change it. But why does He want to change it? Because it's for your benefit and for His glory. God always changes for the good, always, even if it doesn't look like that. I want to please Him. The other scripture on your note says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Man. I want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Aren't you glad we don't have to earn our right to be a child of God? We don't have to earn it. But because we are, we act like it. We live like it because the light of Christ has come to live in our heart. We live in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in everything. I find that my problem is I go about my day sometimes and I start doing stuff and I never ask Jesus what He wants me to do about it. I never even think about what does Jesus want me to do here. I just do it. And I ask Jesus to change my attitude so that every moment of every day I'm asking Him, does this please You? Is this true to Your word? Is this what You want for me? And when I do, life turns out a whole lot better. And I want to please Him in everything. Everything. See, sometimes we separate our life. Well, I go to service on Sunday, and so I'll take care of my spiritual life. And then Monday, I'll go take care of something else. Does Jesus want to invade every aspect of our life, every place we go, every place in our life, in our home, in our job, in the community? He wants a part of all of it. He's not going to be isolated in one corner. He wants to be incorporated into the whole of our life. And so I say, Lord, I want to please You in everything. I want to bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. When I learn from Him, I please Him. I think You pleased Him today when you came to worship. I believe You'll please Him today in the responses you make. You see, it doesn't matter a whole lot whether you listen to the message or not. I'm not saying preaching is important. What matters is, what does God say to me and to you through the Word and through that time of worship that He wants to do in us? When I say yes to what He's saying to me, then I'm pleasing to Him. If I walk away from here today and I'm not paying any attention to what the Spirit's been saying to my heart, I've disobeyed Him. Because what really matters in the bottom line is not the hearing of the Word per se, although you need to do that. It's what I do with what I hear from Almighty God. The light that He reveals to us, He reveals so we can walk in it, live in it, practice it when we leave here. So my prayer is that God will help me take what I've told you today and do it tomorrow. I mentioned this before, but I find sometimes I'll share this on Sunday, and then on Monday something happens and God says, what did you say yesterday? He has a way of doing that because He wants me to change. He wants me to put into practice what I said. Because preachers need to practice everything they preach as well as telling you what you ought to be doing. And my goal is to live that way, not just tell you that. And so when we leave here today, my prayer is something to you in the process. It'll be different probably for each person. He won't say the same thing to everybody, but He will say something. I come here to meet with Jesus. I like music. I like preaching. I like all of it. But I want to hear the Lord God Almighty, whose church this belongs to, as He speaks to my heart in the time of worship and in the word and the prayer and the singing, that I'm listening to Him. And so when I leave today, I'm listening to the voice of the living God who directs my life when I go from here today. Because He's the light of the world is still in us to direct us when we leave here. Praise His name. We can live that way. So I want to ask you, do you have the light in you? Do you know in your heart you've received the light of the world named Jesus, who died for you on the cross, rose again the third day, ascended to heaven, He's coming back. This Jesus, He's the key. Have you asked Him to come and take over your life to deliver you from your spiritual darkness? Good news is, if you will, He will. If you'll open your heart to Him, He will come in. He'll begin to change your life. It'll be a lifetime of change, I know that. But it's sure wonderful when the light comes in. I still remember, as I mentioned earlier, the night I gave my heart to Jesus, something changed in me. I saw life different. When I was going home, driving home, I still remember driving in the car and just something was different because of what Jesus was doing in my life as a boy. And you know what? He hadn't quit yet. Praise the Lord, He's still doing it. It's we'll stay open to Him. So my prayer is that today, if you don't know Him, you'll ask Him. As a Christian, I hope you'll take this passage of Scripture. Let me challenge you. Take it home and read it. And say, God, what do You want me to get out of what this Scripture said? Do you think He'd do that? Do you think He had anything to say to us? Or we would go back through and say, okay, the pastor said these things, but I want to know, what do you say to me about it? Because He's a wonderful God. And His truth and His light changes our life for the better. So I want to live as a person of light, God's light, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, that people see Jesus and they want him because of what they see in me.